step forward.
Hello, everyone. This is another episode of the In and Out Podcast. Today, we're going to hear... Today, we're here to do a reaction to the new movie, Dune, and our thoughts on that. I guess we'll kick it off with Otis East. And I forgot to introduce my co-host. Like, at this point, I feel like I don't need to. We're like so many episodes in and we'll be coming there all the time. But we'll get to Otis. And Otis, what are your thoughts on the movie, man?
It's Lelouch, please, God.
I apologize.
Lelouch. No, I'm being goofy. I actually really enjoyed it. I've essentially watched it 2.5 times now because we started it Friday, watched a little bit more of it today, and then
So you mean you took 2.5 times to watch and sit 2.5
yeah,
to watch?
Yeah, yeah. No. We started at the beginning Friday, started at the beginning again on Saturday.
Right.
So
because I think the way you made it sound the first time was like you spent, nine and a half hours watching. It's like no, that's way too much time. I need to have that.
It was trying to get some in before I went to work yesterday because y'all know my work schedule.
Yeah,
right.
But I didn't like get as much of it as I wanted to from that, so I started over like beginning as soon as I woke up today. It's like these things make a lot more sense. But pretty solid. Seeing that, like, you know, the original book was made in 1964, like, there are so many things from this story that, like, some of my favorite other stories have taken from. Like, one of my all-time favorite games is Final Fantasy XII. And, like, Final Fantasy XII takes so much from this movie. Like, the sandworms, the sand sea, the empire going after the specific clan because, you know, they have this power that they can't control. Like all of that is in there, both of these things. So I was really excited about that. I got some Force vibes, definitely, from the, you know, the voice thing. It's all around solid movie. Like, I don't want to take up too much time talking on it, this first part, but I got a lot to say about it.
All right. What about you, Ethan?
I thought it was all right. I definitely didn't like it as much as Otis, but it's. I thought it was okay. It's given the source material, which Frank Herbert himself has said, you know, is not really meant to be. It's never meant to be a movie. He never meant for it to be a movie. And it's David Lynch, who directed the first one, that said this was never meant to be a movie.
Yeah, this is a series. Like this should definitely be a series.
Yeah,
not a movie.
Yeah, yeah. It's probably much more suited for like an HBO or Amazon Prime show.
Because like there is so much. I'm sorry, I don't mean to take over your part, but like there's just so much information that you're trying to jam pack into those 2.5 hours. So like,
yeah,
it's not enough to fully get that message across.
No. It's a lot of real estate to try and cover, and part of it is figuring out how to pace it. The way a book written in prose as opposed to a film, there are lots of things that readers don't mind sitting through as opposed to when movie watchers wanting to see. I thought that given the actual, you know, scope of things, it looked in lots of ways, it looked pretty cool. But at the same time, it was exceptionally bland. It was, they only had, you know, three colors: black, white, and gray.
Sand.
And there was a splash of orange here or there, or a splash of blood here or there, but it was very, very bland. And you got to understand, if we're watching this in a desert, it's like that you're almost trying to put us to sleep. And you have weird Enya-esque type of tones and whale sounds. It's like, buddy, you are, and this movie is almost 3 hours. It's like we are trying to hang in there, but you're not making it easy. So it's I thought it was okay. I'm definitely going to watch it again to try to get into it because I did enjoy the philosophies. I did enjoy the performances, and I did appreciate the special effects when they were there. But it's there are some uphill battles to it. So I'll leave it at that for right now.
I'll build off of both your guys' points. Let's just start with the movie itself off of Otis. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. I feel as though the acting was really top-notch. Like, a lot of the actors I like, you know, Bleh, I can't talk today. I'm a big Momoa fan, so I think he had a really good outing in this, even though I feel like they that won't spoil it, never mind. I almost did it real quick. I'm a big Momoa fan, and his outing was really good in this. I feel as though I almost thought they were taking a Star Wars, like them, the promotion saying it was a new Star Wars Lord of the Rings. I thought they took that literally at first. Because like Oda said, I got real like Force vibes from this. I don't think the plot being spoiled is too big of a deal.
Oh no! By the way, spoilers. This is
a remake, and then it's a
we are doing a full blown spoiler. It will be mullet style. It'll be up in the front. We'll keep it as spoiler free as possible. But in the end, we'll be as spoiler as possible. There's no point in we can't talk about this movie without talking about actual spoilers.
Right?
There will be spoilers, but you'll know when they're coming up.
With me, it's tough because like. If the book's been out since 64, there's already been the movie out. It's I feel like it's popular. I don't know. That's just me. But the
plot I'm just gonna point, be real. Like I didn't even know this existed until this movie. Like I had never heard of the book. I had never heard of the 80s movie like until this came out.
So that's the thing too, is this isn't as ubiquitous as something like Star Wars or Lord of the Rings or what have you. Even though the movie did exist by David Lynch back in the day, and the book's been out since it came out the exact same year as Lord of the Rings, it's not as well known in the consciousness because it's not as accessible as or as popular. It just isn't. So we do have to say spoilers because there are plenty of folks who do not know this.
Yeah, I thought it was more well known. I saw that book I saw that book fairs growing up all the time.
But did you know the story?
I didn't go to read it because I was reading Harry Potter at that time.
No, what I mean is what I'm saying is like the actual story, the content. People may have heard of it or may have seen a cover or whatever, that kind of stuff, but most people don't know the story. That's the thing.
It I don't know if the actual book itself is as similar to Star Wars as the movie tried to make it. I feel like the movie tried to take a lot of at least cinematic wise, they tried to take certain types of things and make it similar to Star Wars to draw people in. I feel like. Like again, the sand, Tatooine, then like all the certain creatures they put in. I won't say what the creatures are because I don't want to. I'm trying to stay as spoiler free as possible. It was dope. It was a dope movie. Getting to some of what Ethan said, I feel like the pacing was probably the weakest part of the movie. Because I feel like again, like the acting, the cinematography. I feel like the colors to me wouldn't really be an issue if the pacing was so bad, because I feel like what colors if you're trying to like. Instill some sort of emotion. I don't know what the director is trying to do. I'm gonna guess that he was trying to instill some sense of like not dread but like eeriness. I don't know what the word I'm looking for is per se, but it was some kind of like I felt like destitute watching this in a good way. Like I feel like that was the emotion, like when you're in a desert, it's kind of what you feel like. It's never ending, it's dangerous to be in, all that good stuff. But yeah, the pacing, like I watched this movie in the morning and I was already kind of tired. I literally had to pause it, take a nap, and get up and rewatch it. Like, the beginning of it, they try to put cramps, which I understand, which is why I literally had the same thought that Otis had as far as making it a series. I'm like, it's just so much like content. And then because they're not doing an exposition dump, telling you word for word what things are, and they're like doing good movie stuff and like letting you know through context. It takes even longer because it's not, you can't just be like, this is why this is this, and this is why this is this. You have to like show us that, which is why
the problem is, Dev, I'm sorry to cut you off. They kind of did both. They kind of did they showed you an exposition dump and then they tried to have one expressed in the movie. The movie opens with like, here's lore, here's some more lore, here's some lore of this. And there's the lore of this too, is lore, as lore and lore, and then lore. Mm-hmm. And then the first half of the movie is now let's parse this stuff out as well. It's like, geez, and the thing is, to their credit, they're not repeating what they already told you in that opening lore. This is new stuff, but it's still so much world building and names and words and different types of races of people and tribes.
It's like my first time watching this. Like I'll flat out, I didn't enjoy it. I was like, that was like it almost like I thought it was kind of like getting to like the field of some of those movies where. Like it's a really big concept, and it gets kind of so full of itself that it never fully
exactly what I
develops it. I thought it was getting to that territory, but like when I watched it that second time, and like having seen some of the stuff that came later, and then putting that context towards the information they were giving me, like I was able to digest it better. Yeah. Which is why, like, yeah, this would need to be a series because it's so much information.
But I'm sorry though, Charlie, you were saying
no, you're good. All I was saying, yes. I will say I don't feel as much. I don't feel the beginning was more of an exposition dump as much as like them trying to show as many perspectives as they can, because they kept like cutting back between like all the factions, trying to show you what all the factions are doing, what all the factions are thinking about each other. I'm like, if you just focus on like two, and even if you want to make this trilogy, this could be a, I feel like this would be okay to be a trilogy series just for how much content you're putting in it.
Have they said yet whether it's two or three?
Yeah. I feel like it'd be a trilogy. I think they're going to try to milk this out.
Okay, so I'm not sure if it is two parts or three parts. I don't know.
I think this will be received well enough to get a trilogy.
Yeah, I don't know.
The thing is, it took me two times to watch this to like it. So, like, I can't think about too. I can't think of too many people that's going to give it two times to especially on a movie. It's one thing when a series, you know, like, okay, yeah. I didn't get like the first episode. Let's see the second episode. Let's see how that does. Like, I can't think of too many people are going to watch a movie twice. And there's a lot of concepts in there that are hard to grasp, especially like the voice thing. And then it's like all the different factions working against each other and having their own motivation. It's like, to follow all of that and then trying to follow this skinny ass white boy that's an amazing fighter somehow. Like, how you got the strength to do some of those? Never mind. That's neither here or there.
We watch anime, so we can't really say anything when it comes to that.
Yeah.
the thing is, though, is that Otis, both of y'all are saying in a way, is that the first movie with Denis Villeneuve did Blade Runner 2049 last, right? That was the movie he did before this. And that movie, the people that saw it, it was pretty well received, but it was because it was virtually impenetrable because it was so long, it didn't make it that much money. I loved it, but most folks didn't see it, so it didn't make it that much money.
I still haven't finished it, actually.
You didn't watch it either. This movie, we didn't watch it in the theaters. None of us did. We watched it on the comfort of our home at HBO. Could you imagine if you had to see this movie in the theater, sit there for almost 3 hours and try to pop in one shot, like, what the fuck? And that's the problem, is that if people are watching it that way, from the reviews I've seen of this before, it's not being as well reviewed. It's very mixed. Some people do like it, some do not. So it's questionable how it's going to be, go.
I feel like that's the positive thing about it, though, is because it's not in theaters and it's on a streaming service.
Oh, it is in theaters, too.
It is in theaters, but with the fact, because I don't think a lot of people are watching things in theaters like that. Like, the only thing I think people watching in theaters are obviously like Marvel movies and like maybe like really well-known IPs. I don't think people are going to see experiment movies like this in theaters. This is, again, you don't know anything about it. You don't want to spend time, effort, and money to go out, gas, food, or whatever, versus you can do it and try it out in your home. I think that's the positive thing with this. And I think while it'll do well enough, I think people will like sit down and watch it or kind of do what we do, just because there's the tough thing about this movie is like, it's not a bad made movie. Like, the acting's decent, the dialogue's really good, the plot is decent, but it's just a lot to digest.
Yeah,
like, as a movie, it's good. Like, you go down the checklist, it hits all the marks. It's just really long and a lot of shit to cover. Like, it felt like
the thing is, that's what Otis was saying. This is a movie, it would do better as a show,
it'd do better as a show. Yeah. But I think that's because, like, again, since it's on a streaming service, it'll do better than, like, you look at something like Wonder Woman 84, like, that did great in the box office, but not even in the streaming sales, I'll say. Mm. Like, it streamed really well.
Because I don't think the theaters were even open when it came out on Christmas 2020.
I think they were back. Was it open?
No, Christmas of 2020, that's when it came out. It wasn't there really wasn't much of a theater open weekend at the time. Yeah,
well, 84.
I feel like it opened in both. I thought it opened in both, and then because I thought I remembered it only being on HBO Max for like a certain amount of time, then it was only in theaters.
Yeah, it was only the thing is, in December of 20, because it came out in December of 2020. So
right,
there were like some Christmas theaters open, but it was sparse. It wasn't like it wasn't the maximum release. Mm-hmm. It's a big, big, huge deal because HBO Max had it on Christmas Day to be released. But I didn't get you off topic or off track there. But
no, you're good. I like that, though. I honestly feel, as much as I'm not sure about streaming services releasing movies like this, I'd like it for movies like this that are experimental, as far as like you don't have a following already, because it gives people.
Now, when you say experimental and don't have a following, that's the thing about Dune, is that you've established it came out several decades ago. It won the award. It came out the same year as like Necromancer and Lord of the Rings, and then this, the books are huge in the field of like genre and sci-fi and things like that and fantasy, and it won. It won like the book of the year that year. So it does have a following. It's just that the following.
Oh, then it's gonna be fine then. Then it's gonna be fine then. If it's got a following that big, they're getting it. This is gonna be perfectly fine then.
So as you messaged before, it's supposed to be the new Lord Star Wars and Lord of the Rings. Right. As you said, you said it before. Then this is what we put in our.
I said that's what they said in the trailer. I didn't say that. I said the trailer said that.
I don't.
But, I mean, I'm looking at everybody right get now. Like on IMDb, it's an 8.3 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes is an 88. Metacritic is a 75. So I mean, it's getting solid reviews
from critics. Yeah. But you got to remember,
general audiences.
Critics don't pay for the biggest thing. You got to remember in the end is critics do not pay for their tickets. People, the fans do, and if the fans don't like it, and if the fans aren't paying to watch it, then the studios have to listen. It doesn't matter how well received something is by the, you know, by the powers that be. If the people that are going to spend money on it don't give a shit, it's over.
What I will say is, because I wasn't aware of how deep the following was until you brought up all the awards and accolades and things like that. If it is that highly coveted of a book, I think it'll do well enough. Because I haven't read the book, so I'm not sure how accurate it is to the original source material. But again, it's not a bad movie. So I can't say that it did it in an injustice. Right. But if let's say it did do it justice with how good of a movie it was as like a movie itself, and it stayed relatively close to the source material, I think it'll get support from just the book fans alone.
Like something like,
I think if it's that big and it won that many awards, as you said, I think it'll be just fine. I think they'll learn from this mistake. And like, you don't, because with future movies, you don't have to cram as much stuff in future movies now, because you can just like take the plot from where you pick, where you dropped it, and just go, because everybody's seen all the other stuff already.
Yeah, and I see what you're saying there. And I think do think that the fans of the source material will very much like this, though this will be received very well by them. And I know we have to think about this. This movie had all the hype in the world already. Like, I mean, you guys, we decided to watch this movie together or watch it, you know, in the review of it. And none of us had read the book. I saw the original movie years ago. Wasn't a fan of it, really, to be honest. No one really is. And we still were somewhat hyped, or at least were interested enough to watch it. It got all kinds of marketing. It had countless big stars in it. It's directed by Denis Villeneuve, the guy who, you know, and Roger, I think, Roger Deakins, who worked with him before and got an Oscar for his last movie he did. So this movie had all kinds of momentum behind it. There's no lack of curiosity or interest in it. That's definitely true.
Yeah, I saw Jason Momoa and Zendaya. I was like, yeah, I'm watching it.
Yeah, I give it a chance.
Yeah, but yeah, of course I get that. I definitely dig that. It's they knew what the hype train behind this, the marketing behind this film. They knew what they were doing, and I think that any fans of the source material, they're gonna like it. I'll tell you this real quick story. Back in the day, back in, was it 2010 or so? I can't remember what year it was, maybe. But I was dating this girl named Ebony, and by dating I mean just like hung out with her, dated her New Year's or whatever. But she was bizarrely attractive, and when I say bizarrely attractive, I mean literally that. Like, she had kind of a lazy eye, and a kind of almost a crooked smile, but she was gorgeous.
Hey, don't describe it too much now. People gonna go find it. Don't
describe it too much. I'm not. If anyone watches that knows her, knows Ebony, it's like, yeah, she is. But the thing is, she's like a nine. She's like, you walk, you look at her, you're like, wow. I don't know how it works, but it worked. But that describes her in a nutshell. She loved, her favorite drink in the world was kombucha. And I was like, it literally smells like bad pee. And her favorite movie was the original Dune, the David Lynch Dune. So I watched it with her. And I was like, you are weird in every possible way, girl. So this movie is much better than that by far. And I believe Ebony, in all her beautiful weirdness, she would say, okay, yeah, this actually is still a better movie than that thing before. It's kind of more undeniable. This is a more coherent narrative and better acting and, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's not
it's like the opposite of the Mortal Kombat effect.
I guess you could say she saw the movie from every angle possible.
You just waiting for me. I was going to go from
all perspectives. That would have been nice.
You got shameless. But like I said, she was beautiful in her own, very beautiful actually, in her own way. But it's just, it was weird because the fact like, that she, this is her
favorite. That's what she, when you add the in her own way, that's like.
Also, it's just like her personality too. It's like, what? Why are we watching? What? Oh, so, but the, because she also wanted to watch, Battle of the Five Armies, the because that came out while we're together. The battle
that was
she wanted to watch it twice.
She was like, gonna watch both movies at the same time.
And I was like, I don't know if I want to stop. Movie the Hobbit movie.
And it went completely over ET.
So, anyways, that was her. Massive ass tangent away. It's just like it did the movie. I hated that movie so much that it made me think less of her. If I had watched this movie with her, I wouldn't have thought less of her. I'd be like, okay, right. That's fine.
How did she feel about J. Cole's song "Crooked Smile"?
Which one? Which song?
Crooked Smile from J. Cole.
I'm not gonna dignify that with an answer at all. this has just been deterred into just. Bashing ladies, it's a nice lady.
She's the word the millennium eye around her neck all the time.
Yeah, I know you guys, Otis and Charlie, you guys do think fairly highly of this film. I can't bash you for doing that. I can't be like, oh, you're wrong or what the hell. It's like, okay, I can respect that. That's like
I found things to enjoy about it. But I can't say, like, when we get to, like, the actual review, like, actual number review, I'll explain that more.
It's tough for me because it's, like, as much as I would like, to say bad things about it, I can't think of, outside of the pacing, I can't think of bad things about the movie. Like, the acting was great. The plot made sense. It was cohesive. The dialogue was great. The acting was great. Like, I don't know what bad to say. Like, it's a tough situation because they did great things. It's really just the pacing of it. And so again,
part of the pacing, and then like it's just the aura of the, like, this is a movie that I would put on at night to make sure I can go to sleep to it.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not even kidding. I know for a fact I'm going to do that tonight. I'll put this on on HBO Max and know I'm going to drift off in like 10 minutes. It's going to happen.
Yeah. This is.
It's almost like it's a beautiful kind of, like, it's not even an offense to the movie. It's like a beautiful whale sound of a thing that can just lull you to sleep.
Speaking of the acting, what performances, any performances stand out to you guys in particular from a certain actor?
Yeah.
I mean, Zendaya definitely wouldn't get on my list because she was like a cameo and starring at the same time in this movie.
She's doing a lot to the next movie, probably.
Anybody that stood out? Not necessarily.
Yeah. No.
Except maybe the main evil dude. Like, every time he was on screen, I was, like, definitely captivated by him.
He was literally fun. Him and Jason Momoa were the two most fun actors on the screen. Because oftentimes, there was a lot of, like, sulking and quiet talking and mood.
Yes, it was like...
I thought I was
so much brooding. So much brooding in this movie.
I had to raise the volume on my TV all the way up to watch this movie. Am I deaf? Or if it's just like the audio isn't...
No, you're not deaf.
It's like, for some scenes, I'm just like, oh, you watched a lot of Kristen Stewart, didn't you?
Yes. It feels a lot. Also, it's all black, too. That's the thing. It's like, I get that's what they do. It's deliberate. Denis Villeneuve is going for the whole deliberate dark tones and everything else. But that's part of the problem as well, is that so many characters wear black and wear white, and then also they're fighting each other. It's like, wait, who's on which side? Who are the good guys? Who are the bad guys? What do we want here? What's our objective? So by
and then like any a lot color, of it like wasn't actually happening. Like, they had like war scenes that didn't happen yet. And it's like
setting up for the next movies. They're literally, this is all like this is like a teaser and like a pilot episode.
Kind of.
I mean, it would have been a great show because it was like, it's a little pilot teaser. Like,
right. they're basically like, look, we know for a fact that the actual like a big battle action sequence that people would like to have in this film doesn't happen until like another 400 pages in the book. Therefore, we got to have him give them a vision of it so that people will say, oh, okay, I'll come back for that, or this is something to see now.
Yeah. And like, I am a little upset that we don't get to see Batista and Moore fight. Like, I was kind of watching this whole movie waiting for that to happen at least.
Yeah. That would have been badass.
That would have been great.
It happened to see. I don't know if you've seen the show on Apple. That fight was crazy. So I was
Dave shows up in C.
Mm-hmm. He's the main villain of the second season.
Oh, okay. I don't have Apple TV. Okay, I didn't know that.
I will say that Batista has been like, I'm not gonna say he's an amazing actor, but he's been getting perfect roles for him like lately, mm-hmm. like the last couple of years. Like, all the roles fit him and what he does perfectly.
He killed it in C. He fucking killed it.
Yeah, yeah.
I will say.
Now let me ask you this, Dev, real quick. How many lines did Dave Batista have in this movie?
Not a lot, but not too little.
Maybe four.
For as much as they bounced around, I think he had enough. Because they didn't really focus on his character a lot.
Three or four. And they weren't even long sentences. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But what I'm saying is like that's if you're brought in to do that type of thing,
do that. But I think it's the same thing with Zendaya, though. Like, they brought them in to film the movies. Mm-hmm. But like, a lot of their significant plot points will be later on, like during the war stuff.
This was
more so like the, hey, he's here, be ready. Like,
but I guess the reason I'm bringing that up is because it's hard for me to go over them and praising the acting. I mean, the person who showed up probably to work to act the hardest the most was Oscar Isaac. Spoiler alert, he's not in the entire film. So I would say the best performance.
From Star Wars?
Oh, it's Oscar. Yeah, so it's either Poe Dameron or Timothy Chalamet, or probably the best. But Timothy Chalamet puts a lot of time kind of being the moody teenager almost, and he has bursts of different things. But Oscar Isaac is pretty much consistent as a better actor. But again, it's so sparse that it's kind of like, I'm not going to hang my hat too much on the acting. It was the performances were good, but I'm not going to cite that as a reason to watch the movie.
I will say that I enjoyed the main character a lot. I thought for what they had him do, like, I fully expected him to have Hayden Christensen type deal. Like, when they're like, all right, you're having a vision now. Like, I feel like everything they had him do, it wasn't like wildly unrealistic of what he was doing. Like, it wasn't hella excessive.
Otis's face is perfect.
He was my least favorite part of the movie, honestly. Anytime he was on screen, I'm just like, I'm listening to what's happening, but I'm not like connected to it. It's like, oh, he's doing things, it's progressing the story. What's Jason Momoa doing? Oh, he's here? Okay, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was boring. He was boring as fuck.
He's
to me.
Boring.
Like, I'm not gonna hold you. He was boring as fuck.
But he was
like, he wasn't bad.
No, it wasn't bad, and it's not his fault. That's literally how that character was written.
Exactly.
It's much better than Kyle MacLachlan in the original, but it's like it's the kind of that whole anytime you have the chosen one slash white savior complex of the character, they're almost
white. Is he all the way right?
Huh?
He looked like it. Like, I mean, he looked like he's going in the dark, bro.
In the lore of this series,
I'm saying the actor all the way white. I'm gonna look that up real quick. I feel like he's like,
pretty sure he is.
I feel like he's like mixed with like something.
What, Spaniard? Like, he also, he's like white mixed with white. That's what he looks like.
He's pretty much, I know his mom is white, but as white as egg. Yeah, I saw her on SNL with him, but I agree. He's not, again, none of the acting's bad. That's not happening.
There's no bad acting.
Characters and the tone and the mood is deliberately so,
but that's 25.
Mm-hmm, he's 25. I knew that.
He don't look that old to me.
Yeah, he looks like 18.
Yeah, he's like
just a drab.
He got the muscle of a 18-year-old too.
I would say younger. I would say he has the muscle of a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
He's not.
I feel like half of Hollywood was doing that for a long time in the early 2000s. Like, they were having 35-year-olds
play 18-year-olds.
Yeah, but at least he looks like a high schooler though. Like, Toby
McGuire looks like a high schooler.
No, it's not this guy.
Oh, okay.
Toby and Christian Stewart. Cast him as Spider-Man now.
Let's not do that.
Yeah.
They made sure to get him out of high school quick.
Okay, so he's French. Yeah, okay. He's French.
Yeah. So he's French.
Yeah. Well, I guess he's from New York, but he's, I don't know.
He lived in New York. He grew up in America. He lived in New York.
Yeah.
But he's, this ancestry, I guess, is French or what have you. But he's very much... Yeah.
See, I had an opposite effect though than Otis had. Like, I was interested in learning more because my biggest thing was like I'm trying to understand this lore because lore was like somewhat interesting with Spice, sure. And I feel like because he was a driving, I'm like, what is his involvement in this? Yeah. So I'm watching him really hard to find out like how does he is he like? I knew he's a chosen one after we get to a certain extent, a certain point in the movie, but I'm like in the beginning because they were being really vague about like how he was involved in it. Like so I was watching him every time he was on in a scene, I'm watching for like a little quirk he does or something he may do to kind of like give me some foreshadowing of what he's going to do or what he's capable of later on.
Well, and that's the thing is that there's pretty much two halves to this film. And in the first half is very much like episode one of Star Wars. Let's get into the politics and talk about spice and all the other different things and all these different federations and trade and all that kind of bullshit. And then the second half is like, okay. And they do have the sprinklings of the ideas of this is the chosen one. This is the one who's meant to do this and that. But it's because the lore is so vague and they're trying to be so cryptic with it, very cryptic with it. We're not really able to follow too much about it. There are enough seeds planted that we know he's important, but we don't know enough really about what's going on. Then the second half is very much like, okay, we're gonna really double down on this idea of him being the chosen one. And lead into that for the next film. And there's scenes where it shows people like basically recognizing him and kind of it's a part where he first meets Javier Bardem and Javier Bardem says, "I recognize you, like you're the chosen one." There's another part where he's getting ready to go out into the desert. He's put on his whole like black Under Armour suit, and she says, "You use the Windsor knot on your shoelaces. How'd you do that?" He's like, "Oh, I just did it." And she's like, and then she quotes the prophecy saying, he will wear our swag like us, something like that. It's kind of like, okay, these are little drops. I get it. It's cool to see this little ideas of him being the chosen one, but it's like two completely different movies or plots.
Yeah, the second half of the movie definitely feels like a completely different tone than the first half. Like it was, the first half was kind of like, and then the second half is like, you know, plot points. It was paced weird. Like it was paced really, really weird to me because it was like you gave us so much information at the beginning, and then like the tone felt this way, and then you got to the action, which was good. Like, you know, the action was good. Like, but it was like, if you found a better way to balance those two, I feel like this movie would have flowed a little bit better.
I agree. You mentioned the action was good. One thing that was weird, did y'all notice that they built up Josh Brolin as this awesome heavyweight powerhouse fighter? And he goes, "Aha, let's go fight." And he fights, and it's very much like the episode with Seven of Game of Thrones, season seven, where they kind of like, and they go off into the darkness and fight, and you don't see the action, or they kind of, you don't know who when he dies or how he dies. It's like, what? Why would you build up this ultimate champion warrior and then us not see him?
Did we get a confirmed death on that one? Because I don't even remember.
No, we do not have confirmed
death. So he's probably coming back then.
We do not have confirmed death. But it would have been nice to even just see him fight some. This is Thanos, man. Let's see him fight.
He's probably coming back. To start wrapping stuff up, I kind of want to, Otis, I need your blessing to steal your segment for a second. Because I have a point, but the point also goes into this last thing. I need your blessing.
Helicopter fire in my house.
I mean, yeah, of course, yeah. Go ahead.
All right, we respect our comrades on the show. So really quick.
It was really good.
So obviously, this movie is getting a lot of comparisons from the promotion and from this aesthetically to Star Wars. I feel like the movie got. It felt like episode 5, 6, and 7 of Star. Well, maybe like 5 and 6 combined together of Star Wars. And what I'm saying is my thought process on this is another reason I don't think the movie is going to be received very poorly is because when I went back and watched those original Star Wars movies, those movies were paced really similar to this one. Like that shit took forever.
Those are also to get the trash.
Those are Which, again, you saw how slowly those are paced, and those are some of the biggest movies. I'm not saying this one is going to replicate the popularity of Star Wars, but I'm saying those movies were highly, highly well received, obviously, to this day. And they were some of the most worst paced, worst dialogue. Mm-hmm. The effects were good. Down to the point mm-hmm. where even the actors themselves said how bad the dialogue was, but people still loved it, though.
Well, I think, yes, but what you have to understand, Star Wars Episode 4 is a max total of, I think, 119 minutes. This five. Movie five is the first one, wasn't 5 it? Minutes.
Episode 4 is the first.
I thought A New Hope was 5, right?
No, New Hope is the first.
Four, yeah.
New Hope is
first. New Hope, Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
And
I think Empire Strikes Back was 6, though. Am I sure?
No, so it's in trilogies. So the first three are the prequels. Then the next three. So
no, I know that. I'm saying I thought the New Hope, because I knew A New Hope was the first one, very first one.
Yeah, that's the four.
It's
the
first one. It's the first one. It's the first one.
Okay.
But chronologically. So Episode 4, or A New Hope, however you want to phrase it. Is like I think 119 minutes, like right at 2 hours or so.
Right.
This movie is 2 hours and 45 minutes. So even if it slows off at the pace in Star Wars, I do agree that the pace of Star Wars, and it starts off, think about how this is in Star Wars, it is paced slower and it starts off in a desert on Tatooine. And that's the most boring part of the movie. This movie, a vast majority of it is in a desert and it's, you know, what, 35?
All the main action scenes happen in the desert.
So right. So it's kind of like if we're comparing this to Star Wars and the pacing of that movie, it's like this one has that's an even bigger problem than in Star Wars.
I will say though, all the best parts of this movie do also happen in the desert versus all the worst boring parts happening. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Like the parts we love are also in the desert. But you saw again, I guess that's plot. You can't really argue with that. But I don't know, bro. I literally fell asleep when I watched the original trilogy just because I was a Star Wars fan. I fell asleep on those movies a couple times.
That's okay. Bad movies. That's all right.
But bad movies. And so I'm like, they're bad movies and they're so popular. This one is
they're bad movies.
They're bad movies.
No, okay.
They're bad movies.
They are.
I can't agree with that.
Like, they're bad.
They're like those movies that you.
They're bad.
You watch knowing that you're gonna be like, what the fuck?
I enjoy them. I don't agree. I mean, they have their problems, of course, but I think they're bad movies. Bad movies? No.
We talked about a couple things we don't like about the first about Dune in general with pacing, but we've established like the acting was pretty decent, the dialogue was decent. There are literally key points from the actors themselves that acted in Star Wars that said this is terrible.
Wait,
like I mean, obviously the infamous one. Hold on one second.
It seems like this has turned into you just trying to bash Star Wars more than talking about Dune. No.
I mean, that's part of the either or segment. Is just we're using Star Wars. I guess I'm using Star Wars.
This is the either or section. This is the is it that
good not either or, but is it that really that good segment? My bad. But it's because for me, it's again the comparisons are there. We both love, but again, for everybody that doesn't know, I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I went through.
You just said they're bad movies.
I probably know more about Star Wars than both of these two combined, and that's how confident I am on like my fandom of Star Wars.
But would a fan ever say that they're bad movies?
Yeah,
they should because they're bad movies. Like I'm a huge fan of Star Wars, the universe itself, but I know those are bad movies.
We had
watched this Dune movie over any Star Wars movie. Yeah. Period. Pick one.
What was in the last week? Oda said that Code Geass is his favorite anime, but he put it at an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You can have critiques on things you love.
Yeah, but I've never said that something I love is bad.
Well, I don't love
the movie. What's the movie that I love? Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the one that came out in the 90s. Bad movie. Love it.
That's fine. But we're getting into weird semantics here, but for me, I would say it's a guilty pleasure, or I know that it has problems, but I still love it. I don't know. It's just it's weird to hear Charlie say Star Wars, those are bad movies. I'm the biggest Star Wars fan there is, but those are bad movies. Because also, you got to understand, unanimously, they are regarded as some of the best movies of all time. They are like beloved movies. So you can't think that, what I'm saying is actually thought of as actually being common knowledge or common sense. No, people do not agree with that. People do not think that the Star Wars movies are bad movies. They have problems, sure, and they can be pacing problems, of course. But the original trilogy is regarded as sacred by so many people. So So I just want that to be cleared up. That's all.
So my question for you, Ethan, would be there. How many movies do you know of, especially you working on movies yourself or on shows yourself, that are highly coveted and highly popular, but you know, with a shadow of a doubt, they are bad movies?
Plenty of them.
So that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying the thing with Star Wars, if Star Wars was only the movies and that was it, that'd be one thing. I probably wouldn't be as much a big a fan of it as I am. But because you have animated series, other shows, other games and things like that that and put you in this huge expanded universe, that's why I love it so much. I don't love it for the movies. Because the movies were probably the last thing that's I saw.
I didn't know that. Because in my day,
I saw all the other content first.
That's fair. But in my day, for many, many years, all it was the movies. You got to understand, Star Wars didn't open with a comic book. Star Wars didn't have a cartoon series or a TV show. For years, right. For decades, it was just those three original movies. It was after a while, literally into the 90s, decades after the last movie ended, that they started doing other stuff. They had the books. They had, obviously, the books were going around, but they started doing the comics afterwards, too. But it was a long time before they started doing the other expanded stuff with TV shows and other things. So it really was just those movies that started the craze, and those movies sustained the craze in a way that nothing else ever had. So it's when you're saying that these are bad movies, I'm not saying I'm hurt personally. I'm just saying that
it's not a universal opinion.
I think they're great for the time. Like for the time they came out, they were great. But I don't think the movie itself stood the test of time. That's just me. That's a personal thought.
No, they don't.
I've heard a lot of people with that same problem. It's not a universal thing where everybody hates these movies. But there is a large
except for the new ones. Everybody hates those. Everybody hates those.
Even then, I don't know a lot of people I know that like those.
How?
For the same reason people like the first ones.
Because things happened?
Pretty much. Things happen and they're fans of the characters. That's pretty much all. Once you attach yourself,
who is a character worth being a fan of besides maybe the robot in the new trilogy?
Finn. Everybody loves for whatever reason. People love Kylo Ren for whatever reason.
How did they not see his face? Oh my god!
Look, bro, I hate him as much as you do. I probably hate him more than you do, but I don't get it. People do. People love Rey, which I'm kind of in part. I'm like Rey's whatever to me.
She barely had a personality. She just did things.
But again, people love her. I can't talk shit because again, I watch a lot of the CW shows and finished them out because I got attached to the characters. I watched a lot of those shitty CW shows because I got attached to characters.
I think this may be part of the overall bigger problem is that there is so much content out there these days that on some level we're just become more numb to accepting mediocrity and watching it continually. I'm spoiled because I came from an era where that wasn't the case, and you had to fight harder for a person's attention by putting out better quality things. Or at least trying to put out better quality.
I mean, that can't be too accurate because Warner Brothers still exists. They've always put out mediocrity.
But they didn't have the Justice League. Think about this before. They had the Justice League animated series, and then
they also had the Batman movies that came out with
Batman and Robin failed. I mean, it came out, it failed bad. But you got to understand, Batman Forever made all kinds of money, all kinds of coin. I think what it is just that audiences these days are just we are bombarded with so many options, so much out there that it takes a lot to really garner our attention, and it takes a lot to really get us to just completely, utterly destroy something. More often than not, we're in the lukewarm area.
And I'll argue.
I'll watch this. It's okay. Right. I'll keep watching it because it's something to watch. I'll binge this because it's something to do. But we're kind of in that lukewarmish area for a much bigger spectrum of things we watch and consume.
I'll argue.
I don't know if I can agree.
I agree with him, but I'll argue that it's the flip side for back in the day. Because back in the day, there was such a drought of content. Whenever something at the size of a Star Wars came out, people gravitated to it. Because what else was there besides that? You didn't really have any other options. So you found the good in that. Versus now, we're more critical of stuff. There's more options out there and more content to embrace. Versus back then, there's not a lot. Which is why everybody has. There's like a handful of cult classics from back in the day that are really, really loved because there wasn't a lot to watch.
Well, you got to remember this. So back in the day, because there was so much fewer content, let's say that there was on average about 100 movies released a year. I mean, this isn't accurate, but right. Let's say that there were about 100 movies released a year. And let's say that half of those were good. That's 50 good movies. Think about how much content's released these days, either through streaming or online or in theaters. It's about, let's say, roughly 1,000. So if you have half of those being good, that's still 500. 500 compared to 50. Even though there was a drought in the back in the day, it was just that there was so much less being produced. The percentage could be about the same. It's just that there's this overwhelming amount always coming at us. Always, think about how many things are on Netflix you haven't even heard of. Y'all haven't even heard of Dune before until like the past week or so, a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. It's like, and that's been around forever. So that's what I'm saying is, it's just that there is so much content now that you can dismiss it all and it doesn't matter. That when I was growing up, any and all movies popped up on watching TV, of the four channels we had, watching TV or cable when that came or whatever the fuck it was, when a movie trailer commercial came on, we get hype for it, we go see it. We didn't have YouTube, there was a whole bunch of reviews, we didn't have YouTube to watch, we didn't have anything else to watch, we went and saw that movie, and we took it on face value. It's a different perspective, different kind of situation. That's all I'm trying to say.
But like, let's look at something like the cult classics from from the 80s and 90s, like, something like Rocky. Would you say that first Rocky movie is like a good movie, or is it just a popular movie?
It's a good drama. It's a good movie. It actually is a good movie. Yeah, it's a good movie.
I can't say anything. I haven't seen it, so I can't say anything about it.
All right.
Here's the thing, though. I'm guessing, Otis, you don't think it's a good movie.
It's okay. It's a watchable movie. Like, I understand why it's popular, but I wouldn't call it, like, I'm not going to sit down and be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to give this all the critical acclaim that it deserves because, it was just that. It was a movie.
But you weren't alive in the time. Your standards are very different. You weren't alive in the 70s. You hadn't, something like that had never been done. I wasn't alive in the 70s, but when I was a kid, I first saw that. I was like, holy shit. This is the idea, the story of a hero running up these steps. Think about when you were a kid, which you probably watched. I know you watched Yu-Gi-Oh! And other anime, but you watched Dragon Ball Z. You watched Naruto. These are the things that influenced you. You saw, wow, these are the young heroes. These are things that are doing something special and great. The generation behind you, two generations behind you, and they watched Naruto, they're like, what the fuck is this? This is dumb.
I watched Naruto
you
now.
You have to be aware of the perspective you're looking at things through, the lens looking at things through. You have to do that.
My last point before we close out, I will say, I think that a lot of those movies from back in the day suffer from the Black Panther syndrome. And I say that like you said earlier, there wasn't anything like that in the day. So when you look at how we've talked about it before, and we've talked about Black Panther a lot in this show, but about how at that point in time when Black Panther came out, there wasn't a big Black superhero movie like that was big budgeted like that, besides maybe like Blade. And then on top of that, where the entire cast was Black, the crew was Black, everything was Black. So because there wasn't anything like that, we all agree that Black Panther isn't an amazing movie for what it was critiqued as, because it was critiqued as like one of the best things of all time, when we know it's not that great of a movie. But because there wasn't anything like that at the time, innovation is always celebrated in any field.
True.
If you can innovate, it's new, it's flashy, it's trendy, it's dope. Which is why I think, again, going into your point with like the numbers of there being 50 to the 500 movies nowadays, the thing is, you only have those 50 movies, so you only have a certain amount of those movies that are probably going to be good. Even if all 50 of those movies are good, out of the 500, using that same math, there are going to be more than 50 movies that are good. You just got to find them. That's the struggle with today's media, is that everything's not right in front of you. A lot of the great stuff is probably independent, or it's not a big budget. You just have to go find it. Because I guess I'll quick change it into music. Like, how many people do you know, oh, there's not any good rappers anymore, all the rappers do this, da-da-da-da, when there's like an overabundance of amazing artists, R&B artists, rap artists, but people don't want to go search for this good content.
I agree.
They stumble upon it, and then they're like, oh man, he's a diamond in the rough. There's nobody else like him doing it right now, when there's probably a million others. You just ran into that guy out of coincidence.
Right, right. And that's the problem, because we are bombarded with, again, as I was saying, we are bombarded with so much mediocrity that the really special true gems are hidden. And that's the problem. The gems shouldn't be hidden. The gems should be easier to find. But the powers that be flood the market with any and all garbage. Mm-hmm. And it does jade us. Think about that. That's what happens. So often we see more often than not, if we see a trailer for a movie or hear about something, like, that'll probably be bad. I know I've heard him say it thousands of times. His first inclination is to think that something will be bad, but it comes out. That shouldn't be the case. You should be excited.
Yeah, pretty much
always. I was always excited for stuff to come out, but I don't blame him one bit, because 9 times out of 10 now, things that come out are bad because they don't put hardly any effort into making it. They just throw money at it, and that's it. I do respect the hell out of Dune. There's no doubt in the world that Denis Villeneuve put his heart and soul into making that movie. It's all over the screen. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I could never disrespect anyone for appreciating it. It's a hard source material to crack. He did his damnedest. They all put their efforts into it. That is not mediocrity. It's not.
All right. Well, guys, is there any more closing points before we close out? Anything else you want to say?
Yes, there is. Play the either or. Real quick. Either or is the game, a hypothetical situation where we have my two co-hosts who have to break down the math on why they believe scenario A or scenario B is better. The scenario this time around is obviously pertaining to Mr. Denis Villeneuve. Bring it up here. Either you rule as a king in the desert or struggle as a replicant in cyberpunk Los Angeles in 2049. Sorry for the typo there. Either you rule as a king in the desert or struggle as a replicant in cyberpunk Los Angeles in 2049. Real quick, do y'all know what replicants are?
I do not know what a replicant is.
Okay.
The synthetic humans
that are oftentimes hunted down because they're not human. After a while, you're basically, your life is meant to be temporary, and if you live too long, they will hunt you down for being alive.
Okay, that's wild.
Yeah.
You want me to go first, or you want to take this, Otis?
I'll go first. This is a good one, but I'll probably take the replicant in cyberpunk. One, it's not gonna be a whole lot of people that know I'm a replicant. I'm gonna hide that shit. I'm going super dark, off the grid, faking my own death, coming back, and then building up a gang from there. So like, you're gonna have to have known me in my past life to know I'm a replicant. And then if you start questioning if I'm a replicant, I'm gonna put a couple shots in. You know what I'm saying?
I got dark fast.
It did. It makes sense to me.
On a happier note, for me, I'm gonna have to go with the desert. I am a very social creature. I enjoy interactions with other people, and I've realized within like the last year, I feel like I'm a very good manager / leader. Like, I'll do really well with delegating jobs and just making sure camaraderie is always great. So if I can have, however big the kingdom is in the desert, if it's just like in one small little section or whatever, I feel like I would do a great job of making sure everybody is happy and everybody has what they need. And plus, I'm all about the smaller things. Y'all know me. I don't need much to be happy. Like, if I'm in the desert, but if I'm in the desert and I got me a little, like a little porch, a little old school medieval rocking chair, and I'm chilling, everybody's eating good, everybody's playing or doing whatever, I'm like, we good over here. We don't really need a lot. Everybody's living peaceful. Everybody's you already know, I'm not a big fan of like huge cities. I enjoy cities for like the cool stuff you can see, but I wouldn't want to live in one. I don't like. Yeah. I probably live in like a suburb just because it's quiet. It's more of a community. For everyone that doesn't know, I'm from the South, so I'm used to like small town, Southern hospitality where everybody knows each other, everybody's kind to each other. When you go to a city, it's like, man, fuck you. I'm going over here to do this. Get out my way. Mm-hmm. It is loud all the time. Yeah. I'm like, give me my small desert.
Loud all the time.
It's beautiful, and it's beautiful, and the sunrises and sunsets. Everybody's cool with each other. It's peaceful. It's nice. It's quiet. I'm like, I'll take that. Thank you.
See, I'm the exact opposite. I'm from the city, so like I'm used to the noise, like the all the background. Like if I don't hear that, I'm like, what the fuck happened? Like, why is it so quiet? Like, something's not right. So like, I don't know. Like, I couldn't do the silence of a desert. That would drive me insane. Like,
I know. That's the real choice. The real choice here is, can you thrive in a desert or struggle in a metropolis? And having done enough shows and talked to you guys enough, I know, I'm not sure if you guys have paid attention, but pretty much just about every time on these either ors, you guys choose oppositely. Just about every time. Not every single time, but very often you guys do. And I love that. I love you guys have completely different opinions. It's great. So.
All right. hey, bro, we're gonna be out there singing. We're gonna be out there in the desert, quiet as hell, humming and singing while we cleaning, doing dishes. We're gonna be out there chilling
with dishes. You're a good kid. You're a good kid to wash your own dishes. That's impressive.
I try to. I don't say I like it, but I do it.
Like, you can't get DoorDash in the desert. Like,
no.
You get home cooked meals in the desert though.
You can, but
yeah, the food gonna be. Like, we got a million grandmas in the village. Like, everybody'll be eating good. Yeah. Everybody, grandma cooking, throwing.
Where you getting? Yeah. Where grandma getting that food from? Who making the trip into the desert to bring y'all food?
What is the food? Is it sandworms?
You gonna go hunt iguanas?
Yeah,
iguana stew.
Y'all know I'm a foodie. Y'all know I'll try anything. If it's good, it's good, bro. I don't care.
You are a Southern boy. You try anything out twice.
I'll try anything. If it's good.
Yeah.
I eat some I am new.
You're not getting no Wagyu beef in the desert. I want food.
I'll try some Wagyu sandworm. That's what you get that.
I'll try some scorpion. Snake meat's all right. I eat a cobra or what? I don't know what part of the world this desert's in, but I eat some cobra or whatever, I'll try it out.
You ever had snake meat before?
Mm-mm. I have. My roommate brought some back. My roommate, yeah. I had in my freshman year of college, brought me back. But bison jerky, snake meat.
Bison jerky
and like buffalo, like actual buffalo meat. I don't know where you got it all from. I don't know if it's all legal either, but it was good.
Yeah, snake meat's not too bad. It's fine.
It's real gamey.
Yeah, and I've had ants before. You know, they roast the ants. I've had that before too.
I've not had that. Nope.
Okay,
it's not as bad as that
crunch would fuck me up. Like, soon as
there is definitely there's a lot of crunch there. Yeah.
Which you said roasted, so they
What's your decision, Mr. Murphy?
Oh, I would definitely choose the same as I would go a struggle as a replicant in cyberpunk. But I respect the hell of what you chose as far as being a king in a desert, and it seems very much spoiler again. That's what our dude chooses. I'm not sure how it's gonna play out later on, but
he'll get stabbed by Zendaya.
Probably, yeah. But I think the world.
I guess that by the day.
Yeah. I like being in a more interesting place. Like, a desert just seems, and it's not just a quiet place. Like the South, obviously Georgia, where you're from, Dev, is cool, but the desert is unforgiving, and just, you saw the movie. That's where you want to live there. That's
the desert. I don't know what kind of desert. Are we talking like that specific kind of desert, or like, is there a desert with like mini oases, like oasis? I don't know.
Yeah,
oasis
like water.
It's like, I can't live in a place where like there's just that little to do. Like,
it's void of everything.
Your only interaction are the people in this village. You're not necessarily experiencing a whole lot of new things. As a city, like, people are always coming in and out of the city, new things are getting built up. Like, there's always something new happening, someplace new to go, some new experience to get. And I feel like you're going to be struggling. After 5 years in the desert, you're like, shit, what do I do next?
Maybe you, I'm you still
five
suffering.
Years. You have 5 years. Okay. That's impressive.
I'm still suffering from youth, but think about when you're like a child and you have nothing to do and you make up games and you play what you got and you have the most fun there and you have nostalgia on that. Or when you're a broke college student and you don't have money to go do shit, so you're like, all right, we got $10 here. Let's go get some whatever.
Let's go to a place that's civilized somewhere else to get something with that $10, right? Like, you're not just...
No.
There's sand and more sand. Let's
sand fight.
Like,
I was going to say something, but I didn't want to incriminate myself. So I was like, you get something, you go to an open field or whatever. Like, literally, at least here in the South, like, there'll be, they call them bonfires or whatever, but like, we'll literally just go to like a random field. Everybody will pull up, they'll play some music, everybody be dancing or whatever, or do whatever. We having the best time ever. Making up games, we're throwing bottles at shit, or we're making up shit to do. We're having fun, because as long as you're around people, usually music, but again, we
black. And you probably would have that in the desert. They seem like they have the kind of a musical culture there. Obviously, you can't put up a bonfire and do that kind of, you can dance around that wherever you are. So that's that. Oh, yeah. There will be the social aspect of the communal family will be very, very strong in the desert. That's all you have. So it's everything. That is your everything. And we saw it in this movie with the Freemen. They were very much like, we are 100% tribe and hive mentality almost. So like, it's That's going to get that much.
Look at like depression rates or suicide rates in like cities where like you're around so many people, but yet you're alone because you're just, yes. It's not a social area.
Much, much higher. Yeah.
It's that's just me. Better. I'm just a social person. I couldn't be cramped up in my room by myself. I like days and like a couple days by myself, but I could do that for weeks and months, just be by myself. Like I got to go talk to people, be around people, or do something.
Yeah. That's
you can true. Do that in the city. Nothing's stopping you. It's just certain people choose to be reserved and to be in their room. Like it's not like after 9 p.m. you got to be in your room and you better not go outside. No, that doesn't happen. No,
well, you can, you but look in real life though. Like again with the depression rates and suicide rates, where there are so many people there, but it's depression everywhere.
That's because there's so many more people there though. Like, but nobody talks to each other. There are depressed people in the South. Like that exists. It doesn't like are. As soon as you get past Tennessee, no more depression. Like, that's not how it works.
It exists. Just,
there's 4,000 times more people in Chicago than there are in rural city Georgia. You know what I'm saying? So, of course, it's going to be more depressed people.
How often do you interact with new people, though, in the city? Like, do you personally go around to somebody you don't know? Like,
speak no, to it's pretty like, rare. It's,
you keep that's, to yourself. That's
like, yeah, I don't, it's, like, the smaller don't, towns, yeah. Obviously, small towns have much more. Everyone knows each other much more.
Yeah, like you're in a town and you're not from there. You're like, oh, I don't recognize you. Where are you from? Da, da, da. Don't start.
Yeah,
even it's sometimes it's annoying because you don't really be wanting to talk sometimes. But 9 times out of 10, you meet kind people and you like, because if you're not from there, they want to get to know you, know some about you, see if they can help you out. Sometimes it's not that.
But or there's at least Southern hospitality. There's at least that's the big. I told y'all both this before when I moved from Virginia here to LA. That was the thing I missed the most. Besides the food, it was the Southern hospitality. I was so used to seeing random strangers saying, hey, how you doing? Or what's up? Or every brother I saw open the doors, women and them saying thank you and blushing, all that fun stuff. And here, it's not like that. Here, it's almost like everyone's an introvert. Everyone has to have their blinders on and be trying to protect themselves from strangers. It's a very different environment. So it's
like just highly aggressive in cities. Like I went to Philly for a trip with my grandparents, and me and my grandma and my little brother were walking around. And everybody's scowling. Everybody's like, something like it is so angry and aggressive all the fucking time.
Philly, I don't know why Philly's so hot. Philly can be a hostile. The city of brotherly love is a bizarre.
I mean, you see how they do Ben Simmons.
Yeah, Philly, bro, Philly is not
a, that's not a friendly place.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not saying Chicago is either. We've seen some of the stipulations around Chicago, but like,
but Philly,
to
Philly,
say that there is no camaraderie or brotherhood, that's kind of crazy. Like, it might not be as much as itself. It's like, I mean,
I'm not saying there's camaraderie. Obviously there's camaraderie in like the neighborhood. Even then, you look at when most camaraderie in cities, it's your little part of where you're from. Well, you know everybody on your block or on these blocks or in this little area. You have a small community. It's not like sometimes maybe it is, maybe through like video games or whatever, but very rarely are you like cool and making friends across the fucking city or in other like parts of the city that you're not from like that.
Right.
We're like in a southern town, you can live on one side of the town and go to the other side of the town all the time and just be like, hey, what's up? How's such and such doing? I remember they said they were going off to school or da 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 da. That's just,
I mean, one block in Chicago might have like 300,000 people living on it because, like, the way that they do the apartments and stuff, like a city block, like, they're thousands of people living there. Thousands. Like,
but that's a population of one small southern city, though. 300,000 is a small city.
That's my exact point. That is my exact point.
But one thing we have to remember is thank you all very much for joining us. This has been Then and Now. If we will see you next time.